Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The podcast with Dan Gardell and Greg Evans.
Hello and welcome back to 1874, the podcast. Although nowadays, because Villa play so many games on a Sunday, it seems to be 1874, the match review. And this week, it's not a happy one as Villa fell to defeat at the Amex against Brighton. I'm your host, Dan Bardell, joined by The Athletic's Greg Evans to chew over everything that happened on Sunday afternoon. This show is sponsored by NordVPN, and you'll hear a little bit more about them later on in the show. There's also some more information in the description. Greg, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Dan. Had 8 days of golf in a row, which was good, but nice to have a...
fall asleep at the start of the podcast.
Nice to have a couple of days off now.
What, 8 days?
Yeah, it got a bit intense. I went
to play football for 8 days in a row, and I love football. I'm not very good at, my humour might not be very good at golf, but you know, 8 days, that's too much of anything in a row. Even 8 days of a holiday in a row feels a little bit too much to me.
Yeah, it got a bit intense. Look, I had a trip Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday booked for 5 or 6 months in advance in Wales, which was amazing. But I ended up playing 5 days in a row before that just because I had so much free time. So yeah, 8 days in a row, but that's it now. I'm having a bit of a break. I won't be playing until tomorrow.
Did the 8 days of a row of golf feel like quicker than the game yesterday afternoon?
It felt a lot better than the 8 days Aston Villa have had, because it's been a shocking week, hasn't it? Dreadful performance against Chelsea, dreadful performance against Olympiacos, and just a really tired performance yesterday. The performance at Brighton actually felt like a performance that I thought we'd see more of from Villa this season. And don't mean that disrespectfully. I just thought that because of the amount of games that they, you know, have had this season, we'd have seen more of those Sundays like that. So in some ways, you know, it's a big compliment to the team that we haven't actually seen that very often, and they've got through, you know, 95% of the season wonderfully, really. And the job's done. They're going to finish in the Champions League. Yes, they are scrambling over the line a little bit, limping over the line, however you want to define it. But does it really matter? The hard work's been done and Villa are there now.
Do you think they are now?
I said 3 weeks ago, there's absolutely no way Spurs are going to go and win 4 out of 6 games when they haven't won 4 games in a row all year. And in fact, it's actually gone the other way. They've lost 4 in a row. Admittedly, we probably didn't expect that, but I just felt like they were overachieving a little bit because they hadn't played some of the bigger teams. Still got Man City to play, so they're not going to go and win the next 3 either. And it's job done for Villa. I think I liked what Unai Emery said. I'm not going to go and watch the Liverpool Tottenham game, although no doubt he would have kept in touch with it yesterday after Villa's defeat, because it's all still in Villa's hands, and he's right.
Yeah, it was a big game yesterday, wasn't it? Following on, it was almost bigger than the Brighton game in some ways, because Liverpool hadn't been on the best of runs. So if Tottenham had gone there and got something, I think we would have all got a little bit of a squeaky bum, but Liverpool just about got the job done in the end. 4-2. I do this all the time. It's 4-0. I thought, I'm safe to put out. Safe to put out a tweet here. So as soon as I did it, Spurs scored twice, and I thought, oh no, what have I done? But you know, Liverpool at 4-0 up Spurs. You know, I went on TalkSport yesterday and I said to Max and Barry, Villa are kind of limping on one leg at the moment, but it's like Spurs have been shot in both legs. That's how it feels.
Yeah. It's funny you should say that about putting out a message, because, you know, I occasionally, when I'm watching other games, get a bit emotional in the heat of the moment, and then tend to sort of tweet something out, one of my thoughts. And during the Liverpool game yesterday, I couldn't believe actually how bad Tottenham were. And I was gonna put something, you know, to that effect, but I just thought, nah, but better not, just in case.
Passed on the jinx to me instead.
Yeah, he never liked to jinx it. So, I've, you know, seen Spurs last few games and they've looked really poor. You know, don't look like a team quite ready for the Champions League yet. You know, even though they have had the experience of Champions League football in more recent seasons than Villa, of course. But I just think that they're a little bit further back in their development as a team under their manager. Feel like there probably does need to be a little bit of a plan B sometimes, because it feels like they are very one-dimensional. You know, they're trying to play a certain way. And I admire that and I like that. And if it does come off eventually, then great. But I just don't quite think they've got the right players to execute that yet. And when you look at what Emery has done with Villa, he's mixed it up at the right times, I think. And that's helped Villa get the results that they need to get over the line.
Yeah, so Villa 7 points clear now with two games left to play. Tottenham's three games are Sheffield United, Man City and Burnley. I believe, you know, two of them are probably gimmies at this point, two teams that will be going down to the Championship. But I suppose we should be quite grateful that they've got Man City at a time, actually, where Man City need to win every game, because Arsenal keep winning every game. So you'd like to think the form that they're on at the moment, you know, the maximum Spurs can now get is 6 points. And actually, if I was a Spurs fan, I'd take the point of what you're saying, but I'd be frustrated, because the way we've been, because we have been a bit inconsistent in recent weeks and we have looked leggy. Fourth has probably been there for the taking, and they've actually managed to have their worst run of the season at that point. So actually, if I was a Spurs fan, I would feel a little bit let down, I think.
Yeah, I think what we've got to... What's that?
Your phone, wasn't it?
Was it? No, I thought it was yours. Definitely not there. I think just over the course of the season, without focusing on Spurs and Villa just for a minute, you know, we've got to look now and think, well, there's been two teams that have been two outstanding teams throughout the course of the season. And for a long time, it was three. So Manchester City and Arsenal are leading the way and have never really had a wobble. Liverpool hadn't up until the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks. Every other team at some point has been through a tough period, and you know that just now reflects on their position in the league. And for now, it's Villa, because Villa have been very consistent throughout the course of the campaign, but are now just starting to fade away slightly. And look, it was inevitable, I think, because of the injuries that they have got, and because of the amount of games that they've had to play throughout the Premier League and the Europa Conference League campaign. Yes, Spurs will be looking at Villa faltering now and thinking, wow, it was there for the taking. If we'd have just maybe won one of those four games that we've lost, there might have been a chance going into the final couple of games of the season to pip Villa and get into that fourth spot. And if you think of the twists and turns that have happened throughout the season, for a very long time, we were thinking there was going to be five places in the Premier League for a Champions League spot. And if you think back to sort of January, February time, which I know is very early to start thinking about how the top four or five is going to end up, there were still sort of five teams going for the title in one respect, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, it was very much the three that we all thought would kick on, but, you know, points-wise, there was still five. And I remember probably early January or middle of January time, I remember thinking, if for any reason it only finishes with four Champions League spots, which at that time didn't look very likely, there's going to be one really, really disappointed team, because there were five outstanding teams in the league at that point, you know, the top five, which it is now. But what we've seen is Manchester United somehow hang in there in terms of a top 6-7 team, despite seeming to lose or drop points almost every week. It's ridiculous that they're still up there. They seem to have had such
fell
a bad
down
season.
A bit now, haven't they, Chelsea?
Yeah, they've dropped down a bit, but like the fact that they're still there is pretty incredible, because it feels like they've dropped so many more points than perhaps they have. And Chelsea are now coming on strong. And what we're seeing at Chelsea is that maybe with a settled team, you know, over the last three games at least, haven't really changed too much, have they? Just one defensive change, which was forced upon them when Thiago Silva got injured. But we've seen a pretty settled Chelsea team now, almost starting to get into their groove. And yeah, it's too late for them, of course, but good signs for them for next season. But yeah, I think we've just got to look at the bigger picture with Villa. They've had 33, 34 games of a very high level. Yes, starting to drop off a little bit now, but the job's done. And it's a case of somehow trying to get back into it on Thursday. I just think that's going to be so difficult. I'd like to get your thoughts on that. I mean, what do you think about Thursday? Do you think it's done, or is there a chance?
I don't think it's done. I think I've said all along, and I said it on preview shows, that people think because we're the bigger team in the Conference League, the favourites for the Conference League, that you should just play these teams and you'll be better than them because you're the big Premier League team. It's not how it works, because European football is different to Premier League football. And Olympiacos, Lille, they've all been in Europe for the last decade. Villa haven't. They've got the experience of managing two-legged ties. And I thought Olympiacos were brilliant on Thursday. Mm-hmm. I thought their game plan was very, very good, very effective. They cut Villa's passing lanes. Olsen was distributing the ball quickly, like Dave Reid said on Thursday. But what Olympiacos did well was they swarmed at the right time. They waited for a certain point, and then they all went and they swarmed us. And we couldn't get out. We couldn't build up the way that we wanted to. And I thought they were very effective on the break. And when they did have the ball, they used it well, created good chances. Thought they deserved to win. A bit alarming to concede four, but it is what it is. What I did see, though, was that there's a defensive fragility there. And if we go there and play to the maximum of our ability, I think we can win by two clear goals at least and take it to extra time, take it to penalties if needs be, or even win by three clear goals. But it's going to be very, very hard at the moment. Although I thought defensively we didn't look bad yesterday. You always fancy us to concede. And if we concede, it makes life very, very difficult because we're 4-2 down. So I don't think it's over, but I think we've made life very difficult for ourselves. But, you know, I think Olympiacos deserve to win. And we talk about Emery's European experience. He knows how to manage the load and things like that. That's brilliant, and it's true. The players, when they're on the pitch, Emery can't control them. And I just felt on Thursday we showed a little bit of naivety. Even when we got back to 2-2, sit on it for a bit. You know, we conceded straight away. And then if you're losing 3-2, don't concede a fourth.
Yeah,
you concede a fourth. So I just thought we showed an inexperience of managing a tie. You got to, like Lille, they went 2-0 down in our game and they managed that first leg well, and they managed to get themselves that goal.
They? Yeah.
And they started fast in the second leg. Like that. We were quite fortunate to go through in the quarterfinals in many ways. They managed that tie better than Villa did, I thought, and we were the ones that got through. I just think it shows that lack of game management on the pitch, and that's been my opinion. I actually can discount because they're rubbish. We have quarterfinals and semifinals. I just think Olympiacos and Lille, they've got more experience of this kind of thing than Villa do.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, just look at Villa's away performances and results in the Europa Conference League this year. Lost at Lille, drew at Ajax, lost at Legia Warsaw, drew in Bosnia. You know, I think they've only won it in Alkmaar, haven't they?
Alkmaar and Hibernian, if you count.
Hibs, you know, yeah, with the qualifying round, but you know, it's UK, isn't it? So it doesn't really count. But I'm just thinking, you know, on the road, is there an issue there for Villa? Because they seem to be struggling in away games on the road to go and get the job done, and to now be asked to go and win the game by two clear goals is going to be tough. I mean, yes, Villa have beaten Arsenal and Chelsea and Tottenham away from home this season in the Premier League. And you'd argue that all three are better, tougher opposition than Olympiacos.
It's different, isn't it?
So you know that, you know, they've got the quality to go and do it. But to go to a stadium like that it's going to be so pumped up, they'll be used to it because, you know, in Lille it was the same. But to go to a stadium where the fans are, you know, really onto you, really on top of you, I just wonder whether there will be a little bit of anxiety and nervousness about Olympiacos, because it felt like They celebrated big time, didn't they, when they won? You could see that the
you
players
shouldn't do, you shouldn't
were,
do things like that. Like my tweet, you shouldn't
the
do it.
The owner was proper up for it. That it felt that was the big one for them. You know, that it feels like they think they've got the job done, and I think there's just going to be a little bit more in it. And not having a game at the weekend is going to help them massively. This of course it is. That's a big thing because, you know, Villa have gone and going to put another high energy performance into Brighton yesterday, and it's going to, you know, it's going to take its toll inevitably. But I think that's going to work in their favour. They're going to be a bit fresher. But then saying that, you know, they have struggled in the big games this season. They've lost, I think, both games to Panathinaikos, lost both games to AEK Athens. Yes, they did go and beat West Ham at home in the Europa League. And look, they're a Europa League team, aren't they? They're not a Europa Conference
probably.
League team.
I'd say Villa probably are as well.
But I think as you mentioned earlier, Villa are just a little bit earlier in their establishment again, because they're just taking time to build their way back up. Olympiacos are used to playing in Europe every season. It's going to be a tough one. I agree with you. I don't think it's fully over. I think there's a chance.
No, some of the overreactions on.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Social media are frightening. I say this about a lot of topics, but I thought on Thursday it was very over the top, and like yesterday, very over the top as well. Look, it wasn't a good performance yesterday. I can't dress. I think we had two shots, so I can't come on air and say, oh, brilliant, well done, Villa. Good effort. I don't think it's a lack of effort by the players. I do think genuinely running out of gas now, really running on empty. There's very hands tied for the manager of what he can do to change it at this point, because there's always needs to be seven players missing at the moment. And then, you know, during the game, Roger started brightly. You're thinking, I'm kind of sat there thinking, I watched it with my dad yesterday, thinking, I think he's going to be the difference maker. He's playing that number 10 role. I like the look of that. I like the positions he's taking up. Even the commentary team commented on the positions he's taking up. So, of course, he goes down injured and goes off, because we couldn't have a game of football without Villa getting an injury nowadays. I do think that affected us, because I thought we looked, our better moments probably came at the start when he was on the pitch.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he started the game well. And, you know, he's a player in good form at the moment. He's got a bit of confidence, hasn't he? So it was a shame to lose him and then have to bring on, you know, really a player that they've kind of makeshifted into a position, haven't they? Yes, Matt Cash can play, you know, further up if he needs to. And he can play defensively if he needs to. But it just, Morgan Rodgers was set up to start that game. And, it affected them a little bit. They struggled after that, didn't they?
Yeah, did you agree with the fact that, you know, and I've just said we're hamstrung, we don't have many options to take, to get Cash on and take Rodgers off. We then had to move a load of players around. I never like that. Surely you want to keep the disruption to a minimum, because your game plan is surely based on players being in certain positions. Now, I know he hasn't naturally got, you know, but could he have just put on Duran maybe and just gone two up front for that game and ask Watkins to drop a little bit deeper into clever positions back, because then you're not disrupting the rest of the team. I think we went to Bailey on the left, Diaby on the right. Yeah. I don't know which way around it was now. You know, you're then moving them around. It just feels too much movement to me.
Yeah, I mean, we just haven't really seen Bailey and Duran work when they've played together, have they? It just never seems to...
A couple of times I think they've linked up fairly nicely. Maybe not from the start, though.
Never seems to quite click from the start. I mean, Diaby had just another game where he just drifted through it, didn't he? And Bailey was very quiet.
He needs a rest.
Yeah, he needs a rest. I mean, you know, he's had a great season, and you wonder if that strapping on the knee, you know, how damaging that is to him, you know, at what percentage is he fully playing right now? You know, is he protecting himself slightly to avoid getting any further injury? We don't know the depth of that strain, but clearly, you know, Villa are relying on players now that need a rest. You know, John McGinn's played a lot of football now in this calendar year, well, over the last sort of 18 months. Yeah, he had a little rest when he was suspended, and that might have refreshed him up a little bit, but the amount of games that he's played, it's...
I think I saw it was 58 or something along those lines. Is it, if you include international football?
There we go. Yeah. Well, there we go. You know, you're asking these players to play a lot of games. Ollie Watkins has played a lot. I felt yesterday, now people might disagree, but I felt yesterday was a good game to just bring Duran in. Just have Watkins off. I mean, maybe I'm looking at it again in hindsight because you know, Villa have lost the game, but I felt it would be a good opportunity to give Watkins a breather and start Duran .
I think there's a world in where he maybe could have gone to it for him, certainly could have brought Duran on instead of Cash. I actually thought, again, for the second game, I really thought Cash was one of Villa's better players, actually. But I don't know, it's hard, isn't it? Because Watkins really is very, very durable. He didn't really get any service in that guy. I'm not blaming him.
Sorry.
I don't watch him and think he's tired. He's not one of the ones I watch and think he's tired. Does that make sense? The same with McGinn. I don't watch him and think, he looks tired. There's other players I thought
McGinn looked tired, yes. I thought the two that looked tired for me were McGinn and Baylor. the two of them looked pretty tired for me.
That's fair.
Torres comes in and, you know, obviously hasn't played in the week, so
he's playing through injury as well at the moment.
Yeah, it's very makeshift, isn't it, for Villa at the moment? It's just a good thing that they've got the points on the board. They haven't got to worry about the Premier League. It's just whether this Europa Conference League now backfires.
I feel like we're doing the thing that we've just said Olympiacos did. Like, Tottenham could beat Man City. I think it's very, very unlikely.
Villa will get a point in the next two games, regardless.
You think?
Yeah.
I said the other day that I can actually see a world where we get 0 points and still qualify for the Champions League. So far, I'm being proved right with that, actually.
Yeah.
I did say that on one of our shows the other day. It's just difficult, isn't it? It sounds negative. I'm not getting on anyone's back because the players and the manager and everyone involved in the club has been phenomenal. The football side of things this season has been phenomenal. And this is to be expected. In some ways, that's the other thing with Spurs. They've only played I don't think they've even got into the 40s of games played this season. Mm. They got knocked out of both cups pretty early and they've not been in Europe. You know, there's no excuse for what they're doing at the moment. At least for Villa, you kind of look at it and think, there's a reason for that.
I think what we're seeing with Tottenham is they've obviously got a manager who's come in this season, is still trying to really find the full identity of the team with the right players. We've seen at Arsenal, it took a little bit of time, didn't it, for Arteta to get his message across. Obviously, you look at Pep Guardiola at Manchester City, you know, they finished third in the first season. It takes a little bit of time, but as I said at the start of the podcast, with Spurs, it feels like they're very one-dimensional at the moment. They need to have that plan B. With Emery, when he came in at Villa, he was able to mix things up. Yes, he wanted Villa to play a certain way. There was moans and groans from the whole team when Villa were passing it out from the back and it wasn't quite working and players were giving away possession. And you need to work on that a little bit. And yes, the philosophy in general stayed the same for you know, a good amount of months, but there were always little tweaks that made a big difference and Villa went on and got a lot of points. So I'm looking at Postecoglou now and I'm saying, you know, is he as far advanced at Spurs as Emery was when he was at Villa? And it's not quite there yet. So they just need a little bit more time, I think.
Yeah. It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today
at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's get back to the game then. Yes, I mean, I get back to the game. It's very difficult to talk about. I'm not sure where we go. The only real topic I can think of before we get to the goal is the goalkeeper, Olsen.
And it's worth talking about.
Yeah, of course.
It was an important day.
You've got to give him credit, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, look, just to start on a negative, I suppose, and then we can move on to the positives. To go back to the Olympiakos game, that just felt like a typical performance with Olsen in goal. You know, it wasn't necessarily his fault that they conceded four goals, but things just seem to go against Villa when he plays. And he had the last goal where he sort of put his hand up and he feel he should have saved it. He was a little bit slow to react for the third goal, I think it was. And there was a chance actually yesterday where he saved from Gross wonderfully, a brilliant save. And it was very similar to that goal. So, you know, his reflexes were just a little bit sharper maybe than they were in midweek. But you've got to look at the defence in front of him. You know, the last two teams Villa have played, they've got round the back pretty well and managed to play a couple of long balls over the top that have opened up the defence. And that's what I thought Brighton did really well yesterday. They got in behind well. And luckily, you know, more times than not, Olsen was there to save Villa.
Yeah, I mean, I've got no qualms with Brighton winning. I think they deserve to win. I've come round to the fact that I think it probably was a penalty now as well, which we'll come on to later on in the show. But just on Olsen, he didn't massively do anything wrong on Thursday. I completely agree with you, but you almost just expect to concede 2, 3, 4 goals when he's in goal. And you always look back and think, if Emmy had been in goal, would we have conceded 4? And I think the answer's probably no. You know, even I said to my dad yesterday, and this is going to sound like a dig at him, and it's not necessarily. I really don't want to be harsh on him because I think he's taken a lot of abuse. It's time at Villa, and I don't really want to be part of that. But even when he makes a save, it looks awkward, and the ball never goes where I would expect it to go when a goalkeeper normally makes a save. Like he made a save with his foot, I think it was yesterday, and then the ball's like in behind him, and he's looking for where is he. It also looks really unorthodox to me for a modern day goalkeeper. And I take it, you know, he's probably around my age, in fact, but. Do you know what I mean? Even when he does something well, it looks awkward. I think that's one of my issues with it.
Yeah, and look, you know, I think Villa fans now in general have been so spoiled and blessed almost by watching Emi Martinez for so many years and how well he has performed and how he makes everything look pretty easy. You know, the saves that he makes, the way that he's changed his distribution. So when Olsen comes in and it just never quite looks right because Martinez is just so good. But also, I think what we're going to remember is, you know, Villa struck lucky with Martinez to get him and for the way that he's developed, you know, incredible signing. Fair play to everybody who worked so hard to put that together. Yeah, there was an element of luck involved because another team could have done it and also got him in the same way. But before that, Villa struggled for a goalkeeper, didn't they? You know, for a long time. You know, there were so many goalkeepers coming in and out. And you know, it just makes such a... It sounds really basic and simple, but it makes such a difference when you can rely on someone like that.
I think there's a lot of unreliable number ones in the Premier League.
Yeah, me too.
I think Villa are... I don't really agree with you saying they were lucky in the way they got him because ultimately they identified him and they got him and no one else did. So I don't think you can say that's...
Sorry. I mean, not look, I say Villa identified him and fair play to everybody involved that went and got it. But did they expect this level
of
return?
No, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
In every signing, there's an element of luck and an element of a risk and gamble. You know, you can spend £50 million and there's still a bit of a risk involved and you're still hoping to be a little bit lucky. With John McGinn, you know, did Villa invest £2.75 million and think they'd go on and get a player like this? No. So, yeah, you're looking, I mean, that element of luck in terms of how he's kicked on, but certainly nothing, you know, no knock in the way that Villa identified him because there were plenty of other goalkeepers that they considered at that point and said, no, we think this guy will be the best out of the lot.
Yeah. Well. Something's happened to Greg. Well, there he is. He's, I don't know. Maybe a round of golf popped up, maybe a golf notification. Then you just thought you'd have a look at. So what we're saying is essentially obviously there's going to be a drop off whoever comes in goal after Emi Martinez, because he is the best goalkeeper in the world. So you could put any goalkeeper in after him and there will probably be a drop off. I say any goalkeeper, a realistic number two goalkeeper. But there's no getting away from the fact that when Olsen plays, generally Villa lose.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, that just is how it is, unfortunately. Yeah, yesterday, a lot of the players were very, very complimentary to him.
He was good yesterday.
He did very well. He kept Villa in the game for a long time, made some important saves. And look, you know, he even saved the penalty. It was just very, very
difficult. He was going to save that penalty as well.
And very difficult to take when you have such a good game, but then you end up on the losing side again.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, it pops back out. That when I said about, you know, it doesn't look, the ball never pops out where you expect it to, and he makes a save, I'd discount the penalty in that, because that's a good save. You know, just unfortunate, because João Pedro is always going to be the furthest forward player following up a penalty, isn't it? Did you think it was a penalty?
I mean,
silly from Consa to give the ref a decision to make. That's my
thought. We talked about penalties last week, didn't we? You know, after the Chelsea game, and I'm saying the Carlos one. Foul on Carlos. I was thinking that wasn't a penalty, wasn't it? It was a VAR ruled out. But in the box, I'm just thinking these fouls that they're just soft for me. They're just getting too soft. I mean, we there was a small period where referees were not allowing, you know, we're allowing these fouls to go by, and you look at the foul on Rodgers and you think, okay, he's let that one go. But then you look at Konsa on the Brighton player and you think, well, he's given that. So you either give both of them or you don't give either of them. And I'd like to see neither of them given.
If you're going for it, if you're trying to make a challenge, you kind of have to get the ball. And he didn't get the ball. So at that stage of the game, and Dinga has caused us problems all day as well. He's a tricky customer, isn't he? I think it was a bit naive from Konsa to give the referee a decision to make. And as soon as it's given, it's not going to get overturned. That's the other problem with that.
Yeah,
problem.
I mean, you know, they're going to look over and over and they're going to find an angle that makes it look really obvious, and there always is, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is a penalty. I think if it happened the other way around, I'd be saying it was a penalty, so I feel like I have to do the same there.
I mean, you can't use this as any context because you have to look at the foul in isolation, but that felt very much like a Konsa challenge. You know, he does that all over the pitch and he does it quite well.
He didn't get the ball, though.
No, I get it. It feels soft to me still.
Yeah, I mean, I watched Dinga. He had a good game yesterday. He was undoubtedly the best player on the pitch. I'm watching him, the way he's dribbling with the ball and stuff, and I'm thinking, Diaby was doing that at the start of the season. Mm. He's just not doing it now. You touched on him briefly. His confidence must be low. I think coming out of the team at that one point has really knocked him, and he's probably not been the same since. He's had fits and spurts where maybe he's come back and shown what a good player he is. It's a real shame with him, because at the start of the season, we were all saying, oh, this is an unbelievable signing. Really, every time Villa sign this wide/forward player, they go up a level.
Yeah.
And actually, Bailey's been better than him this season, and maybe Diaby coming in has brought something out of Bailey psychologically. I don't know, but I want to see him take on a man. I don't ever see him take anyone on anymore.
Yeah, he's not playing with any confidence, is he? You know, spoke to lots of wingers over the years, and they say, just, you know, when the confidence isn't there, they don't want to take on that man because they feel like they're always going to lose the ball. And to be in that moment, I don't know whether he is. I've got no clear insight there. You know, maybe something we can look into in the future, but he's not playing with any confidence at the moment, no. And even if he wasn't scoring goals, I don't think that's the key for him. I think it's just good performances and, you know, setting up chances, creating opportunities for his teammates. He's not really doing any of it at the moment, is he?
No, he scored.
And you look back at last week when he came on and then he was taken off. It's just, I know that's happened a fair few times, but his mindset can't be that great at the moment. He's going to be thinking, look, I've made the big £50 million move to the Premier League. This was my chance to kick on. I've left a club that's just going to go on and win everything in Germany. And I can't really get into this team now. I'm not really performing. I'm not going to go to the Euros, am I? Because I'm not performing.
Well, I think he will. Before I was reading, he will get in the 26-man squad for France. He was in the World Cup squad, wasn't he? I don't think he played, but he was in the World Cup squad. It's annoying because I keep thinking, like, he scored a few goals recently. He scored against Bournemouth. He scored the other night. And you think, oh, a goal, that'll do his confidence the world of good. It doesn't seem to.
No, and I don't. We shouldn't be writing him off early.
No, we're not doing that.
But I'm just saying, in general, you know, we shouldn't be writing a player off after a season in the Premier League when he's so young, because Leon Bailey's the classic example. You know, things can change quite quickly. But look, he's going to have to hit the ground running next season, you know, to give his Villa career any sort of lift off and the kickstart that it needs, because it looked so good at the start and it's just faded away, sadly. And there's always going to be that £50 million tag hanging over his head. It's a hell of a lot of money.
Well, Bruce, we'll get back into it after we hear a little bit more about NordVPN. 1874 is proudly sponsored by NordVPN, so when they and you can't watch it, we want to help you. NordVPN is a secure and private service which works on pretty much any device, including your laptop, mobile, or television. So if you want to watch some live content, it allows you to appear like you're in another country. And whilst you're connected, no one else can find out what you're doing, including your internet service provider. Beyond this, the service also has threat protection baked in to protect you from intrusive website ads and malware, which is pretty handy for you. As part of NordVPN support performance for free, this also includes Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. All you've got to do is go to 1874.io/NordVPN and sign up. All the details are also in the description. As always, we're very grateful to anyone that signs up. We know that money is tight, but if you think NordVPN will help you out, it will also help keep the channel running and help us too. We've got anything? I mean, I'm not sure what else we can do from the Brighton game, Greg, because it, you know, wasn't a massive amount of talking points to come out of the back of it, was there?
No, I mean, look, you know, Villa have got a lot of injuries and we're talking about this every week, but it felt maybe like a game that they really, when the last week has felt like a game where they've really missed Tielemans, actually.
He's a good player.
Yeah, I think, you know, we can talk about how Ramsey would have changed his team and how Kamara would have tightened it up and how Tyrone Mings' influence would have been so useful to have. And of course, Emi Martinez back in goal. But I just feel for the energy and the way Villa attack and the way that their patterns of play and the way that they were moving the ball forward so nicely beforehand, I do think that Tielemans has been a really big miss. And I would have liked to have seen more of him, because he was in a good place, I think, when he got that injury.
This is what I'm saying about Rodgers, though, as well. It's just as someone hits their stride, they're pretty injured.
Yeah, it's been the story of the season, hasn't it? It's been a really disappointing time. I mean, you think back to when Ramsey started the season injured, got back into good form, and then got injured again.
He's been injured about 3-4 times, hasn't he, this season? I'd basically say we haven't had Ramsey for the whole season if I was asked, because we haven't. Because every time he's played, he's been trying to get his fitness back.
Yeah, and look, it's a real shame for him, because I remember the last game of last season, you know, interviewing him after the game, and it's almost a year on now, and we were very much pushing him on, you know, this time next year you're going to be in the England squad, aren't you, if you continue like this. And if he'd have had a full season, I'm convinced he would have been there, because he was on that trajectory, that really good area of performance for him.
No, it's just, he's a real shame. The injuries have, if we get fourth with the amount of injuries that we've had this season, I think Unai Emery is the manager of the year anyway, but because it doesn't get spoken about, he never ever brings it up. He never says anything about it post-match, pre-match, in interviews with him. He never says a thing about these injuries, which just shows the no-excuse culture, doesn't it?
Yeah, and look, we've heard Pochettino speaking about it this season for Chelsea. We've Ten Hag's come out and said it's the, in 10 years of management or whatever it was, it's the most I've ever had to deal with injuries. You know, Liverpool had a period, Newcastle did, of course, and Tottenham. But
they all talk about it.
They all talk about it, and Emery doesn't. I think what we've seen from Emery in the last couple of weeks and months is he's a more emotional character. He's very pumped up when Villa win. And yesterday, you know, there was what tends to happen after a game is they will do broadcast interviews, do 4 or 5 in the same room. So it'd be like a 1.5 minute interview and then another 1.5 minute interview on the back of each of them. So, you know, 5 different broadcasters might ask him the same questions. But one of the interviews, he was very passionate in talking about positivity and saying, look, you know, we're 7 points ahead in fourth position. I don't really care about what's happened in the last 3 weeks, in the last 3 games, because the bigger picture is that we've had a great season and I'm still looking for positivity ahead of these final three games, which Villa hoped to be four. So I think we're seeing signs of him really feeling the pressure now, because over the course of his career, few things have gone wrong, you know, at the back end of seasons for him. When you think of like Arsenal, you know, losing in finals, just missing out on the Champions League, you know, in the last couple of games when they lost, I think, two out of the last three, and missed out on the Champions League. You know, he had a couple of finals at Sevilla, I think, that Copa del Rey that didn't quite go to plan. You know, lost to Barcelona, I think, one of the years. So, you know, he knows that this is the real, you know, this is the business end of the season. This is where it really matters. This is where, you know, the whole season is defined by these final results. So, you know, he's going to inevitably be feeling it a little bit. But look, you know, I agree with you. No matter what Villa do now, I still think he's going to be manager. I still think he should be manager of the season, because nobody expected Villa to get fourth, and they're going to get it now.
I did say we'd be fifth in my pre-season prediction. So, you know, it's only one out there, Greg. I think we're going to look back. There's been various times where you can say, oh, that was a key period of the season. But, you know, I think the way they responded to the 4-0 defeat at Spurs, when Spurs then, you know, took over us in position in the table, goal difference. At that point, we were thinking, oh, okay, we could be in a bit of a battle here, and we didn't know whether fifth was going to be Champions League or not. That week where we beat Arsenal and Bournemouth, and they lost, Spurs lost to Newcastle, I think at that point, got hammered. There were two big wins in a row, those back-to-backs. And then even getting a point against Chelsea, you know, that's 7 points. That's the gap. You know, I think they were going to look back at those games and think, so glad those games occurred the way they did.
Yeah, I think there's been so many, hasn't there? You know, I think, you know, going to the period where they were like going 2-0 up or 3-0 up and then conceding two, but still going on and getting either winning or getting a point. You know, beating Burnley, big game when they weren't quite at their best, second half at least anyway. Luton, you know, Nottingham Forest. I think there were times when they played unbelievable football in those games, especially in the first half. But then when the opposition came up against them in the second half, they held firm and went and got the results. So I think those were really important moments. And you do just wonder, don't you? Okay, we probably predicted this, didn't we? And I think most Villa fans would have said the same also, that inevitably there was always going to be a bit of a drop off at the end of the season. Villa couldn't continue performing the way that they were for so long over the, you know, up until sort of January period, because they haven't got a title winning squad really at the moment. But you do just wonder, after that Man City and Arsenal, after those Man City and Arsenal victories when Villa were in an unbelievable place, if Torres and Kamara had just stayed fit, could they have, you know, and everybody else maybe that subsequently were injured?
Look, Arsenal could haven't really had any injuries, have they?
No, they haven't had any. You know, Timber's been injured, but they haven't had any. You know, Jesus was out for a little bit, but now can't really get in the team. So they've not had any major setbacks, no. Man City have done well, admittedly, because they've been without Haaland and De Bruyne for periods, which, you know, would hurt teams because they're the two best players. But yeah, you know, you do just wonder, don't you, if the injuries hadn't affected them, whether Villa could have sustained it for a little bit longer.
Yeah, well, look, still neck on the line now. Fourth and Conference League win still, Greg?
Fourth, absolutely, no doubt.
You can't say no doubt. I think it in my head, but I don't want to say it.
No doubt. I mean, last week, before three games, I said 95% Villa will get into fourth. Now I think 99. I've got no doubt fourth place. The Conference League, I'm not too sure. I've been playing over what could happen on Thursday quite a lot these last few days, actually, just thinking, I wonder what's going to happen. And I think Villa have certainly got it in them to go and get two early goals, but I just feel like they're always going to concede over there, and that might just be the problem. I don't see them going there and keeping a clean sheet. So to do that, you know, they're going to have to get three goals at least, which might be tough.
No guarantees Martinez will be back either, I don't think. But hopefully he will, but there's no guarantees there. Who knows? But yeah, we'll build up to it later on in the week on 1874. So thank you to Greg for joining me today on his early, early bank holiday Monday. We've jumped on at 8 a.m. this morning, as you'll be able to tell by my bedhead. People have to look at whether I wear a cap, what my hair's doing. There's a lot of criticism that goes around. I know how the footballers feel, and you have to take it on the chin, but this is 8 a.m. bed hair. here from me. So yeah, we've done an early one today. Thank you to Lee for getting up on his bank holiday Monday as well to see us through in the producer stage. Thanks to Adam for just ignoring the WhatsApp group for the last 24 hours, pretending it doesn't exist. Just didn't fancy speaking to any of us over the last 24 hours. As I say, we'll be back with a match preview in the week leading up to the Olympiacos second leg. Wherever you're taking in this podcast, then give it a like, you know, leave a comment, leave a nice review if you're listening via audio platforms. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you're getting the podcast as well. Have a good bank holiday Monday. I don't know what time this is going to be out, but yeah, hope you have a brilliant bank holiday Monday. Try not to be too down about yesterday and Thursday because it's still been an unbelievable season. And up the Villa.
Social Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.